Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church. Today we continue what we started on Wednesday. This last Wednesday was Ash Wednesday. That's when we started the season of Lent for this year. Lent is that time of repentance where we take a look and move forward toward the cross. And today we're going to continue what we did on Wednesday night too and take a look at, first of all, how many times we are defeated by our enemy, the devil. However, also, how the Son of God went out and marched forth like a champion for us. So that's what we'll celebrate today. We'll also celebrate the Lord's Supper. So prepare your minds and hearts to receive the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus. If you're not a member of our church or of a church within our fellowship, we ask that you refrain from partaking with us because this is a unity meal. And if you have any questions about this, please let us know after the service. We'd love to instruct you in it. Let's begin our worship with hymn 106 in the Red Songbooks. 106. God bless your worship. May remain seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us.
Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worry and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do, you should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake.
Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. In His great mercy, God made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. So hear the word of Christ through His called servant. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you.
Amen. Amen.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray again. Lord, our strength, the battle of good and evil rages within and around us, and our ancient foe tempts us with his deceits and empty promises. Keep us steadfast in your word, and when we fall, raise us up again and restore us through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first lesson for this morning as we take a look at this battle goes actually to our first defeat in Genesis chapter 3. But what we see is that right after our first defeat, God still gave us the promise of victory through Christ. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? The man said, The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. And the Lord God said to the woman, What is this you have done? The woman said, The serpent deceived me and I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. The word of the Lord. We sing the first two verses of the Tree of Life, number 754 in the Blue Songbooks. First sin brought defeat and certainly death. But we see here in Romans chapter 5 in our second lesson that God provided one who would reverse all of that. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. The word of the Lord. The verse of the day that we'll speak together shows something that Jesus did in our next lesson, something that you and I can do throughout this Lenten season. Alleluia.
It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.
Alleluia. Please stand in honor of the gospel lesson. As promised, God would send Jesus as our champion. Here we see our champion at work and defeating the devil where we couldn't. From Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated for the hymn of the day, number 201 in the Red Songbooks, 201.
Thank you.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father, through our champion, Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon text comes from the first lesson from Genesis chapter 3 today. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your answers. Amen. It's always fun to watch young minds grow, even when little kids get to that why phase. You know what I'm talking about? They ask you a question, you give them an answer, and they say, why? You give them an answer, and they respond, why? Another answer, another why? I feel like that's what happens when we get to Genesis chapter 3. There are so many why questions that always circle around for you and me, and yet here we see them get answered, really. Questions like, why is there evil in the world? Why is evil so rampant? Why do I try to avoid God? Why does God even care about me? All good questions, all will get answered one way or another today as we look at Genesis 3. But there's one more than any other that we'll see has actually four different answers in this text. The biggest question that'll get answered today, why did God send Jesus? Before we answer that and get into that, it's good to understand what had just happened before Genesis 3. Sometimes we get so used to this world, you know, being the way it is, we forget that it wasn't always this way. God created the world perfect. The first two humans were perfect. They perfectly followed his law. Now, there was also something God gave to them in order for them to say thank you for doing all of this for them. And that was, he gave them a tree in the middle of a garden, and he gave them a command not to eat from it. That was him giving them the opportunity to thank him. You know, it's nice when somebody does something nice for you. You like saying thank you so that they know you appreciate it. This was Adam and Eve's opportunity to do that. Think of it as their church. It's a place, a specific location where they could go, thank God, worship him and praise him, and think, you are so worth it to me, God. And how much more would they be confirmed in that thankfulness if, tempted by an evil enemy, they would say no to that enemy and stick with God? And so God gives them that opportunity as well. But Adam and Eve underestimated how sly and crafty this evil enemy really is. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Scripture is clear that this is the devil. And Eve should have known that this, whoever this was evil, because he was obviously implying that God was not good. God, did he really say that? He's holding back from you. Here we see a common tactic of the devil, trying to get us to doubt God's goodness. But Eve holds up pretty well at first. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. To combat an evil thought, Eve quotes God's word. It's a good thing to do. And what she said was well within his command. But Satan wasn't done. He never is. Said, you will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. Here, another tactic from the devil. He directly contradicts God's word. He completely flat-out lies. And then he uses another tactic. He mixes lies with truth to make it seem more palatable. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. If Eve ate from that tree, would her eyes be opened? Would she know good and evil? Absolutely. But would she be like God? Not a chance. And again, hear the insinuation that God was holding back some sort of special knowledge. The devil tries to paint God as the evil one. We see the devil's tactics worked. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. We see the effects of sin right away as they set in. Instead of looking at that tree and thinking from God's word, no, this is not good for food, suddenly it was good for food. Instead of being repulsed by this tree because of God's command, suddenly it was pleasing to the eye. And the devil added some icing on this fruitcake. Oh, it's good for gaining wisdom. Well, then what did she have to lose? So she took some and ate it. And then we hear something really sad. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Adam didn't fill that role that he was supposed to do as spiritual leader of his family. Instead, he gave in just as Eve did, broke the command of God. They fell for it. Both of them. Now, before you and I get up on our high horse and think, Adam and Eve, how could you? You ruined everything over a piece of fruit. Let's remember that we fall for these same tactics of the devil. And we know how dire it can be. We're experiencing it. And so you'll see there are some blanks in your bulletin that you can fill in. Because that's why God had to send Jesus. And the first one that we want to fill in, because we all fall for Satan's tactics. Because we all fall for Satan's tactics. We can't stand up to him. None of us can. And that's why God had to send Jesus. And for the devil, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Still uses the same tactics. Tries to get us to doubt God's goodness and paints him as the evil one. Did God really say you're not supposed to gossip? You're just trying to get the information out. Did God really say not to chase after possessions? It sure seemed to make you happy. Did God really say not to have sex before marriage? Wow, this is what you want, isn't it? Did God really say not to cheat on your taxes? Everybody's doing it. Did God really say that about the roles of men and women? Oof, how archaic. It's obvious with all these things, God does not have your best interests in mind. Do what you want. And then he flat out lies to try to get us to forget the dire consequences. Oh no, go ahead, it's just a little sin. It's not that big of a deal. Sure, you give in this one time, but you'll get back on track later. No harm, no foul. And then he mixes lies with truth to make it seem more palatable. Go ahead, taste of that sin. Besides, you're justified. They wronged you. Go ahead, even God is gracious. He'll forgive you. Besides, after doing this, you'll experience the knowledge of God's grace again. How wonderful. Go ahead, dive in. And you and I fall for these sinful tactics time and again. So yes, why did God send Jesus? Because we fall for Satan's tactics, every one of us. And because we fall for those tactics, there's another reason that God sent Jesus, because this sin brings something with it. And that's what we see next. Adam and Eve ate of the tree, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. We were told in chapter 2 that they were naked and felt no shame. Now suddenly they had shame over being naked. Why the big change? Because before, their sexual impulses were completely in line with God's will. But now, because sin had set in, they didn't have control over these impulses anymore, to the point where they had to curb these impulses by making coverings for themselves. By making coverings for themselves, they were revealing their guilt. But that wasn't the only way. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Never before had they been afraid of God. But now they knew that they disobeyed a command from a good, just God, and they deserved punishment. No matter what they did, however, they could not cover themselves, they could not hide themselves from that guilt. It was upon them for disobeying this good, just God. And that's where we can see the next one you can fill in. Why did God send Jesus? Because we cannot escape our guilt. Because we cannot escape our guilt. When you sin, you sin. You can't change that. You can't escape that. And sinning against a holy, just God deserves punishment. You and I can try to cover up our guilt by justifying our actions or by giving in to the acceptance of the world over that sin or even by blaming others, as we'll see in a little bit. We can try to hide from God by avoiding church, the pastors, even the elders who are trying to help. We can hide from God by shoving his Bible away so that it doesn't sharpen our conscience. But try as we might, we cannot escape our guilt, and that's why God sent Jesus. And that's insane that he would do that. The guilt was squarely upon our shoulders, and yet he sent a Savior? Why? This doesn't make sense, does it? God was perfectly justified. If he pounded Adam and Eve into the ground and wiped us from the face of the earth, and yet he didn't. Why? Well, this is the biggest underlying answer of all of them, of why God sent Jesus, and it's what we see next. The Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" They were hiding from an omniscient God. He knew what they did, and he knew where they were, but here we see God's love in trying to bring them to repentance. The man answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. I couldn't exactly be naked in front of you, God. That'd be shameful. So I hid." It was a hollow lie of an excuse. God knew it. And again, justified if he smote Adam and wiped him away. And yet he still tries to get him to see his sin and confess. "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." A little while earlier it was, "Oh, Eve is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken from man." And now it's, "The woman you put here with me." Really, the real culprit, God, is the woman. And actually, it's you, isn't it? Because you put her here with me. I was doing just fine until her. So God now gives Eve a chance, even, to confess. The Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." It wasn't her fault either, it was the snake's. We see sin doing what sin does, trying to dodge guilt by blaming others. What would possess an almighty just God to refrain from wiping out these poor, wretched sinners right away? It doesn't make sense. God would be perfectly justified in getting rid of them, and yet he didn't. Why? Write this one in. It's the next one. Because God is gracious. Because God is gracious. How evident is that in this whole thing? The Lord God does not treat us as our sins deserve. We trust the devil instead of him. We doubt his goodness. We break his word. We try to dodge our guilt. God forgives us. It doesn't make sense. But that's a huge reason why he sent Jesus. It has nothing to do with us. Simply because he is gracious. And out of this grace, God sent Jesus to do something that we couldn't do. And that's what he was going to show next. And before he even announces it, he actually gives a sign out of his grace for all people of all time. He says, "All right, Satan, you chose to use a snake as your tool to get to Eve. Well, now I'm going to use a snake for the rest of time so that whenever one of these humans take a look at this snake, they're reminded of this promise I'm about to give. A snake crawls on its belly and eats dust all the days of its life. That's a sign of humiliation and defeat. Well, guess what? They're going to see that snake and they're going to think of you because you're going to lose. And what is this promise? I will put enmity, that is hostility, between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." This buddy-buddy relationship you got going on now with Eve, yeah, that's not going to continue. I'm going to put faith in her heart that will make her look at you with disdain. And the same goes for her faith-filled offspring after her. I'm stepping in, and I'm going to create faith in all of their hearts that recognizes you and your faithless followers as the enemy. And what kind of faith is it going to be? It's going to be in the one to come. He will be one of her offspring. He'll be a human, but he'll be far more than that because of what he's going to be able to do, something no one else would be able to do. He's not going to fall for your tactics, Satan. He's not going to try to dodge guilt. In fact, he's going to do the opposite. He's going to take all the guilt from all people after him and before him and put him on himself. And on that cross, when he dies, Satan, yeah, you'll get a lick in because you helped bring that sin about, but that will mean your defeat. Think of it, Satan, as a heel strike to a head strike. Which one would you rather have? Yeah, you're going to have the other. Your head's going to be crushed in defeat. This curse, that is a poem, became a promise of power for Adam and Eve. This promise of Jesus reveals why God sent him. Go ahead and fill in the last one. Because he could crush Satan. Because he could crush Satan. We could not. We couldn't win. This was a war that we had no chance at, but he could. Through him is the grace that we needed. Through him is the righteousness. We saw him winning it in the gospel. God sent Jesus to crush Satan for us. And that is what we will once again be focusing on this Lenten season. We'll go all the way to that hill of Calvary where Jesus crushed the head of Satan for good. So hang tight. It's going to be a journey. I'm sure there will be a lot of why questions that pop up. But as we go, we'll remember all the tactics of Satan. We'll also recognize and take ownership of our guilt. But we'll also remember the grace that God secured through Christ and the victory he had in crushing Satan's head. Lots of why questions, but thankfully, from the outset, the biggest one was answered. Why did God send Jesus? God's blessings as you remember that. Amen. Please stand. May God's grace through our champion guard your hearts and minds from the devil's tactics. Amen. We now confess our faith and everything God did to fulfill that promise according to the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen. You may be seated for the offering. Continue with the prayer of the church. We pray. Gracious Lord God,
forgive us for the times we trust the devil and his lies instead of you and your word. Thank you for sending a champion who would defeat him and win salvation for us all. Give us renewed zeal to recognize our sin and guilt, and give us strength in Jesus' name to battle the enemies that threaten our faith. Almighty God, we praise you for blessing those celebrating birthdays as well. Give them a rich measure of your Holy Spirit so they can continue to glorify you day by day. We ask that you also continue to be with everyone celebrating a wedding anniversary. Point them always to Christ, who is the perfect example of forgiveness and selfless love. Lord of body and life, please show the power of your mighty hand and the comfort of your grace to those suffering from illness or injury, including Joe Orbeck's mother, Veda. Give them and their families the reminder of your love in Christ, as well as the hope of eternal joys with you in heaven. We ask all of these things in the name of our champion, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue with the sacrament on page 9. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right so to do.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who willingly died under the curse of this world's sin, so that we may live forever in the light of God's blessing. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, and we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power.
By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. By rising from the grave, he opened heaven.
Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting.
Amen. Amen.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Amen.
This is my body.
Please stand. We give you thanks, O Lord, for the foretaste of the heavenly banquet that you have given us to eat and to drink in this sacrament. Through this gift you have fed our faith, nourished our hope, and strengthened our love. By your Spirit help us to live as your holy people until that day when you will receive us as your guests at the wedding supper of the Lamb, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn, which is the final two verses of hymn 754 in the Blue Songbooks. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Lent. God's blessings as we continue this journey. Big welcome to our visitors this morning. If you have any questions about our ministry here, please let us know. There's also a welcome center that you can check out, which is the table back there in the lobby. Please stick around for Sunday school and Bible study. Theology of the Cross continues here in the sanctuary. The Sunday school adult study continues in the chapel. Everyone is invited to that, obviously. And Sunday school, then, from there, after that, we'll go into the different classrooms. Teen class is also up in the teen room. Today is LWMS Mission Box Sunday, so if you could put it on your minds and hearts to give to that great mission, you can find the box back there near the information center. Today we have our special needs worship at 2 p.m. That's going to be in the chapel. If you'd like to come check it out, please do. It's a lot of fun. If you know of anybody that might be interested, that might have special needs and yet wants to worship in a simple way, let them know. Tell them that we've got this here. It's a lot of fun, like I said. 2 p.m. Bible information class continues today at 5 p.m., and that'll still continue to be in the Luther room. Lenten services continue as well this Wednesday. God be praised. 5:30 is the meal. 7 o'clock is the worship right here. So come for good food and also good spiritual food. Another announcement for the seminary choir coming on April 13th. So once again, it'll be a Monday night at 7 p.m. right here at St. Mark's. But we also are still needing hosts. So if you are able to host however number, let us know, whatever you are able to do after that service, please let us know. April 13th, Monday. Thank you. Also, our call to Mr. Tim Vogel that went out is still being deliberated, so continue to keep him and his family in your prayers as he decides where best to serve God's kingdom, here or still in Southern Cal where he is right now. For all of the other announcements, you can find those in the weekly news. May God bless your week as we continue this Lenten journey. Stick around to greet one another.